morning, Bridge City Church. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Yeah. A little better than you were when you came in? I hope so. I hope so. Well, if I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak campus of Bridge City Church, and we're going to continue our series entitled Courageous Faith, and I have about 15 minutes this time around to communicate everything that is within Joshua 10. I think I'm going to have courageous faith to do so, but I believe we can do it. How many of you believe we can do it, right? Well, listen, God's already going to do what he has planned to do, and I love when he does that. He's going to communicate exactly what he wants to communicate, and I'm so thankful that we get to be exactly where he wants us to be, exactly where he wants us to be, when he wants us to be there, and there's no place I'd rather be than right here with you all praising God and worshiping his name this side of heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done. Give us great expectation for what you're going to do. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I celebrate who we get to be because of you, Lord. God, I thank you that right now you would show each and every one of us that you want to do miraculous things both in and through all of us, Lord. Lord, give us just an amazing faith to want to participate within these bold and audacious acts of faith, Lord, within your kingdom. Lord, give us opportunities to do so. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Listen, God wanted to give you all something today. And I hope that some of you received that during prayer. If you didn't, I want to give you exactly something right now. And that's homework. And that is to read Joshua 10 this week. I want each and every one of you to read Joshua 10 because we're not going to get to cover every single thing that happened within Joshua 10, within the remaining time that we have together, but we're going to get to cover exactly what he wants us to cover. And before we get there, I want to talk about faith a little bit. And these verses aren't going to pop up on the screen behind me. You're going to have to write them down in your journal or on your phone, but I want you to be challenged by these verses. And some of you've heard these verses before. If you haven't, maybe this is the first time, that's great. But it's in the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 11. Some call this the Hall of Fame of Faith. The great examples of faith are listed in Hebrews 11. And starting in verse 3, it says, by faith. Everybody say, by faith.
By faith.
You don't have to say this next part, but it says, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command. God said it, it happened. That we now see... What we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. You know, oftentimes we just want to be given the answer to every question that we have. We want to know for a fact. But we get to know by faith. We get to walk it out by faith. We're not going to know every answer. We're not going to get to know everything this side of heaven. And guess what? When we get to heaven, it's not going to matter because we're not going to have questions because we're going to be fully in the presence of Jesus. Now, it's hard to walk by faith and not by sight. You know why? Because we have what? Everybody say it out loud. We all have a flesh. Every single one of us. If you figure out how to walk this Christian life out without one, let's write a book. We'll write a book. We'll sell it. We'll make a whole lot of money for the kingdom. And we'll do exactly what Pastor Warner did with the purpose-driven life. He gives away 90 and lives on 10. Purpose-driven life is the second highest-selling book of all time next to the Bible. Okay? I think if we wrote a book on how to get rid of your flesh, and we'd be able to do that. But we can't. Paul couldn't even do that. He wrote a majority of by God, the majority of the New Testament. Why do I know what is right, but I continue to do what is wrong? He had a flesh. Let's keep going to Hebrews 11, verse 6. And it is impossible to please God. Everybody say impossible. Impossible. To please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. We saw a whole bunch of people this morning seeking him, adamantly seeking him in prayer, in worship. I don't know what everybody asked for, what everybody sought him for, but I know that some prayers were already answered. I know that throughout our time together today that prayers are going to be answered. I know that some people are going to come to me and my wife and this prayer was answered this morning and celebrate that. I know that this week prayers are going to be answered. I know this month prayers are going to be answered. I know this quarter prayers are going to be answered. I know a year from now people are going to say on July 30th, 2023, God spoke to me and this prayer was answered. You know how I know that? Because God is who he says he is. And when we walk out and step out in faith, he meets his children. That is what we're talking about today with courageous faith and in Joshua 10. It takes courageous faith to step out. And when we step out, courageous faith attracts. As a matter of fact, it demands, it produces, and it expects a supernatural result. Because there's always a problem that we need to overcome. There's always a promise that God's given us. And whenever we step out, there's always a possibility for God to show us who he is and that there's always a way. There's always a way, even when it doesn't look like it, it doesn't smell like it, it doesn't feel like it. There's always a way. And he's always doing something, no matter what. We're going to try to give the context and what's going on in Joshua 10. There's a lot of battles that we've seen Joshua and the people that he's leading win. Some of them they've won with great victory and they've been obedient to God throughout. Some of them they've went to God after they realized they messed up. This time they have a battle that's coming against them because all of the kings that are surrounding them see that they're winning. And the kings don't like that. In our culture today, what do we say? Haters gonna hate. And when you're winning, people around you are gonna try to hold you back or pull you down. If you're moving forward, there's always someone that's around you from your past or even your present that's gonna try to pull you down or keep you stuck or take you back to where you used to be. Here's the kings from the surrounding areas. They didn't like that Joshua and his people were winning. Verses 1 and 2. Anybody want to read out loud with me? No? All right. Adoni Zedek, king of Jerusalem, thanks for leaving me hanging, guys, heard that Joshua had captured and completely destroyed Ai and killed its king, just as he had destroyed the town of Jericho and killed its king. He also learned that the Gibeonites had made peace with Israel and were now their allies. He and his people became very afraid when they had heard all this, because Gibeon was a large town, as large as the royal cities and larger than Ai, and the Gibeonite men were strong warriors. Haters gonna hate. They heard things were happening. They heard Joshua, Israel, and the Gibeonites were winning. So the king sent messengers to several other kings. Come on. Let's go destroy them. As soon as the enemy hears that you're winning, that you're having success, and that even the people of the Lord are winning and having success, he plans an attack. How do I know this to be true? Number one, we see it here in Joshua 10. But number two, the kingdom sees it all the time. The body of Christ sees it all the time. When the White Oak campus was launching, we had people praying constantly. They would meet and walk the streets of White Oak for a building for us to meet in. We had obstruction after obstruction after obstruction, hurdle after hurdle after hurdle. God overcame every single one of them. Eventually, we find where we were led here. Lots of hurdles still needed to be overcome. We had our first 3 months of worship experiences at Plaza Azteca, which is now Plaza Azteca. It used to be Christina's restaurant. Some of you never knew that. Rachel's first job at Bridge City Church, the White Oak campus, was to walk around and Febreze the chairs so that they didn't smell like stale cigarettes and old beer. Great job. We no longer have that A-team position. Praise God. Prayers were answered. Battles were won. Now, fast forward over a decade later, a new battle has arose. People are now walking the streets of White Oak and gathering at White Oak Park, praying and believing for a new building. You think the enemy likes that? Nope. Is he planning to attack? Sure is. But guess what? God's people will overcome. Listen, he doesn't attack us head on. He attacks relationships. He attacks marriages. He attacks our children. He attacks our health, our mindsets. He attacks our commitments. He attacks us honoring our word. He attacks the way that our relationships are formed. He tries to get us to deviate from our plan. He tries to get us to be distracted from the direction that God has called us to. The goal is that eventually, no matter what, no matter how great the challenge, no matter how great the opposition, is that we fear nothing and we expect victory, just like Joshua and the people of Israel did. I want us today to fear nothing and expect victory. Fear nothing and expect victory. To be strong and courageous. Over and over and over again throughout Joshua, God told them to be strong and courageous. To do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. And it's going to be very interesting when we get to the end of Joshua 10, what happens with those words. Verses 6 and 7, the men of Gibeon quickly sent messengers to Joshua at his camp in Gilgal. Don't abandon your servants now, they pleaded. Come at once, save us, help us, for all the Amorite kings who live in the hill country have joined forces to attack us. So Joshua and his entire army, including his best warriors, left Gilgal and set out for Gibeon. So the Gibeonites sent word for Joshua and the Israelites, and they came in covenant relationship to help them. They were over 20 miles away, but they came running. They traveled overnight, 8 to 10 hours, with all their weapons, all their armor. 3,300 feet of elevation, over 20 miles. Let's put this into account here. This is like us at the White Oak campus traveling from here to Point State Park, or the Murraysville campus traveling from their campus to Point State Park, and traveling 10 times as high as Mount Washington. If someone called you and said, hey, I need help, you rolling? You going? Okay, Malcolm said yes very loudly. His number is 412. No, I'm serious. Let's put this in Pittsburgh terms, okay? Something you can grasp, okay? Because not a lot of you have ever been called to war, like pick up your armor and your weaponry. Some of you guys have dreamt of this. You're preparing for it. I get it, but let's put it in Pittsburgh terms. You ready? I'm moving. I'm not packed. I need help. I live on a hill. And the house needs cleaned. Can you come, please? You going? You're good. I know you would. I know you would. Sharon's number is 412. No, I'm just kidding. Seriously, we need these people in our life. We need these covenant relationships in our life that are going to go to war like that, that are going to battle like that. Nevertheless, the Lord made a promise to Joshua and made good on his promise. The Lord made a promise to you all as his sons and daughters, and he's going to make good on it as long as we stay in order with him. Here we go, verse 8. Do not be afraid of them, the Lord said. For I have given you victory over them. Not a single one of them will be able to stand up to you. Joshua traveled all night from Gilgal and took the Amorite armies by surprise. Whenever God says to you, do not be afraid, guess what? You should listen. But why is it so hard for us to not listen? Why is it so hard for us? Why is it so hard for me? I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm any different than you. He tells us over and over and over again, do not be afraid. Be strong and courageous. Have faith. You are more than an overcomer. You're a son. You've been set free. But yet we allow for the lies of the enemy to still creep in. I allow for it. When God says, don't be afraid, we should listen. He is who he says he is, and he has given us a victory. All we have to do is walk in it. Joshua walked in it. Courageous faith. He knew that God is who he said he is. He gave them the victory. The Lord threw them into a panic, and the Israelites slaughtered great numbers of them at Gibeon. Then the Israelites chased the enemy along the road. I'll spare you all the details here. They killed them all. The Bible is amazing. Let's keep going here. 12 and 14. On the day the Lord gave the Israelites victory over the Amorites, Joshua prayed to the Lord in front of all the people. And he said, let the sun stand still over Gibeon. How big is your faith? Joshua standing in front of all of these people. And he had the faith to pray for the sun to stand still. Do we have faith that all the people that received prayer this morning are going to receive an answered prayer? I know I have that faith because they're going to receive it. Yes, no, or wait. Every prayer gets answered. Yes, no, or wait. Every parent has said yes, no, or maybe to their kid. God says the exact same thing. Joshua didn't just pray a big, audacious prayer. He declared it. He didn't just, hey God, listen, I know you're busy. I know you're a big God. I know you got a lot on your plate. As a matter of fact, I know you have a lot of plates. If you could squeeze it in here, if you wouldn't mind, could you make the sun stand still for just this once? Just could you, please? No, he declared it. What are you declaring over your life? What are you declaring over your family? What are you declaring over your marriage? What are you declaring over your finances? What are you declaring over your children? What are you declaring over your workplace, over your job, over your future job? Making declarations. Listen, I didn't share this during the first. I didn't even think of it. But you need to write down some declarations. You need to write down some declarations that you're making over your life and over your family. And they need to change, because as they change, your prayers change. I wrote down declarations years ago. And as they change, and as God answers them, I make these declarations every single day. Jesus is first in my life. I exist to serve him and glorify him. I love my wife, and I will lay down my life to serve her. My son and my future children will love God and serve him with their whole hearts, and I will nurture, equip, train, and empower them to do more for his kingdom than they can imagine. I will believe God for my kids. That one used to say my future kids and my future kids only. It needed to be changed when Lennon was born. I love people and believe the best about others. I am disciplined. Christ in me is stronger than the wrong desires in me. I'm growing closer to Jesus every day because of Christ. My family is closer. My body is stronger. My faith is deeper. My leadership is sharper. I am anointed, empowered, equipped, and called to reach people far from God. I am creative. That's a declaration. And you know who created that declaration in me? Jordan. Jordan Armstrong. Because I used to say all the time, I'm not creative. And he corrected me because of a podcast he listened to. He said, no, you're creative because you were created by the Creator. That was the Jesus juke of all Jesus jukes. I am creative. Innovative, driven, focused, and blessed beyond measure because the Holy Spirit dwells within me. I develop leaders. That's not something I do. It's who I am. My words, thoughts, and imaginations are under the power of Christ. I take all thoughts captive and make them obedient to Christ. I wake up with a purpose, direction, and meaning every day of my life. Pain is my friend. Sometimes I wish I didn't write this one down. I rejoice in suffering because Christ suffered for me. I bring my best and then some. It's what I bring after I do my best that makes the difference. The world will be different and better because I serve Jesus today. What are you declaring? I fail at every one of those. They're audacious prayers. If you want those, you can have them. But you need to change them for yourself. Church, Joshua, he made declarations in front of many people. The sun stood still. The moon stayed in place. God gave Joshua victory over 31 different kings. What kings do you need God to give you victory over? What kings in your life do you need victory over? Obviously, you probably brought some kings up here this morning and got prayed for, encouraged. The worship team is going to start to make their way up, but I want you to write them down. What kings do you need to be strong and courageous that you're going to defeat? God wants to give us victory over our enemies, but he wants victory to become a generational thing. He doesn't want it to become a one and done thing. He wants you to win and beat some kings in your life so that your kids don't need to do it. so it's once and for all. Joshua 10, 22 through 25, then Joshua said, remove the rocks covering the opening of the cave and bring the five kings to me. So they brought the five kings out of the cave. And when they brought them out, Joshua told the commanders of his army, come out and put your feet on the king's necks. And they did what they were told. I love this part. Joshua told his men, be strong and courageous, for the Lord is going to do this to all of your enemies. Throughout Joshua, the Lord told them, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid, be strong and courageous. But now, Joshua's leading others and telling them to be strong and courageous and giving them an example of what God is going to do to every one of their enemies. You know, I thought about it. I was going to bring somebody up here as just a physical illustration. Take my size 16 shoe and just place it nicely over somebody's neck and just, this is what God's going to do. But that was my flesh. I told my flesh, get behind me. I'm not going to do it because you get the picture. What is that thing in your life that you need to stop being afraid of? You need to stop thinking you can't overcome it, because you can't. God can. You can't get victory on your own, but God will give it to you if you just order your steps based upon Him and His Word. Psalm 110:1. Then the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool at your feet. What impossibility are you facing today? What king in your life needs to bow to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords? God has made the impossible possible. He has overcome everything that this world has to offer, so that you can overcome through Him, so that sin in your life can be given to Him at the cross, so that you can become an overcomer through Him. You know, I really wish that we could give each and every one of you a footstool today, that we could send everybody home with an ottoman. It's just not in the budget. I already told Sarah we're going to plan for that for next year, next time we preach on Psalm 110:1. We're going to believe for ottomans for everyone, so you can have a physical representation in your house that God wants to make a footstool out of every enemy that you have. And you get an ottoman, and you get an ottoman. Everybody gets an ottoman today. That's what I want you to take home. But what is that thing that's separating you from everything that God has for you? That thought process, or that generational curse, or what is it? Revelation 17:14, together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because He is the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, and His called and chosen and faithful ones will be with Him. Last question I have for you today. Are you with Him? Not just here in this place. Obviously you're here and you're in His presence now, but are you going to be with Him for eternity? Do you know that for sure? Because you are not promised tomorrow. Have you made that decision to be with Him for eternity? Have you received Him as Lord and Savior of your life? Have you repented of your past, received the forgiveness of the cross, and accepted Him as Lord of your life? Not the manager of your life, not the one that just tells you what to do, but the one that leads you. Just as Joshua was submitted to Him and leading others, is the Lord leading you in ordering your steps all the days of your life? If you've never made that decision, or maybe you made that decision and you've run away from Him, let today be the day, July 30th, 2023. If you need somebody to pray with you and walk you through that decision, just slip your hand up and say, Pastor, that's me. I need to know that I'll be with him for eternity. Thank you, Jesus. And the heavens rejoice. Anyone else today need to make that decision today? Anyone else today? Don't let this moment pass. Don't walk out of this place not knowing. Maybe you made that decision and need to reaffirm it today. Father God, I thank you for who you are. I thank you for who we get to be because of you. Lord, thank you for the promises that you've spoken over our life. Thank you that you will lead us through every problem. And Lord, thank you for giving us a perspective that every single moment, every circumstance that we're walking through is a possibility for you to prove who you are in your might, in our lives. God, we praise you, we honor you, we celebrate who you are. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Kevin's going to wrap us up.